Significant news in Australian breeding this week, with Aquis Farm confirming they've acquired a controlling interest in the Group 1 All-Age Stakes winner and the Everest favourite Pierrata. He's going to stand the 2020 stud season at Aquis Farm in the Hunter Valley. The CEO of Aquis, Shane McGrath, joins us this morning on Talking Horses. How are you, Shane?
Morning, Joe. How are you?
This is good news for the roster.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's a horse we've obviously had a fair interest in for quite a while. Negotiations have been ongoing, and thankfully on Thursday we were able to secure a deal that will see him stand with us next season, and will be part of his racing career going forward. So it's incredibly exciting, and it's a horse that we really had targeted for quite some time. He's by unbeaten Triple Crown winning 2-year-old out of a Flying Sparrow mare, so he's out of a Champion Broodmare sire. He's got the pedigree, he's got the performance, he's a Group 1 winner, he's effective on top of the ground, he's effective on rain-affected ground. It just seems to be bomb-proof, and I suppose that's reflective of his position in the Everest market, and even back as a 4-year-old, he's had two sensational starts. He's run unbelievable time at Randwick in his first start, and then he obviously cemented his favouritism last week, so it's incredibly exciting, and you know it's a real boost for Aquis, and it takes us to the next level, and I suppose it justifies the investment we're making to be able to acquire stallions like him for not only ourselves but our breeders and our partners.
The timing of the announcement couldn't have been better, really, given the form that he's been in and what lies ahead for him. And his time form rating, Shane, at the moment of 126 is the highest mark of any horse currently racing in Australia.
That's right. And I mean, time form is the benchmark worldwide. And I think Australian breeders and racing people are getting more and more accustomed to the use of a rating like that. And at 126, it's an incredibly high rating. And hopefully, speaking with Greg and the team, there's more improvement to come with them. So, you know, Greg is going to have him peaking Everest Day. So if we can hit a peak performance there, I think it gives him a massive chance. And the Everest is, it's a race that's on everyone's lips here in New South Wales. And I guess when you think about stallion making races, you think about the Golden Slipper and you think about the Caulfield Guineas and the Golden Rose. And, you know, the fact that we've secured this horse for stud duties on the eve of the Everest probably justifies the investment that Peter Belandis and his team have made into the Everest.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, with the Everest being his main focus, there's also been some suggestion, Shane, that there might be some racing plans internationally. Where are things at with that sort of thought process?
So I know it's a cliche, but it's every race at its time. But he is a relatively likely race. He's an incredibly sound horse. Greg's got him in a great spot at the moment. And, you know, there's plenty of opportunities, obviously here in Australia, but from an international point of view, we've obviously, obviously the boss is based in Hong Kong. There's some fabulous international races there. We were part of the Dubai racing scene with Brave Smash earlier in the year, and, you know, I suppose Royal Ascot's the pinnacle for international racing. So there's definitely those opportunities, provided the horse tells us he wants to go there. And you know, if you can open up an international career for the horse, you know, it might open up international stallion dual prospects as well. So it's all in the air at the moment. Greg and Adam Carney, who's the managing owner, they've been incredible to deal with, and we're really looking forward to being part of what's the great Australian racing story too. The original owners are all still involved, obviously, and to join them for the ride now for the rest of his career, it's something to look forward to, and let's hope it keeps rolling on in the right direction.
It's fair to say that he's one of the hottest sire prospects to retire to the Hunter in some years. He'll stand at your Murundi base.
Yeah, definitely stand in the Hunter Valley there. I mean, as I said earlier, his sire Piero's, he's definitely the young sire on the rise here, and I think to be standing his fastest and his best highly credentialed son at stud for us in 2020, he's a stallion who could stand on any roster. You know, we've made significant investment in our broodmare portfolio over the last few years as well, and predominantly the theory behind our broodmares is they generally go to our own stallions. So to have a stallion of his ilk joining the roster will it'll definitely make mating plans a lot easier for us.
This week, Shane, on the 7:30 report on the ABC, there was a piece about the water shortage, or in fact, Murrundi has actually run out of water. And I wondered, how is that impacting, if at all, on the farm side of things for you guys?
Yeah, look, it's incredibly tough. I'm actually, I was there last Friday morning looking at all the yearlings, and it's, you know, for the township itself, to have a town that actually ran out of water, you'd think in this day and age it's almost unheard of. And our local council at the moment, they're putting in a water pipeline from Lake Glendon through to Murrundi, and they're getting about 600 metres a day put in, so they're hoping to have it in by Christmas, and that would provide the township itself with some relief. For us personally, on our property, we've nearly 6,000 acres. It's a dry farm, we don't irrigate, but we've enough dam water for stock and domestic, so we're able to keep things going, but it obviously the huge cost. I mean, feed bills are gone through the roof. The amount of hay horses are consuming. It's a significant impact, not just for us, but for all the local farming community. As you know, we opened a farm in Victoria earlier in the year. That's been a godsend for us, really. We've been able to rotate stock between not only it and our Canunga farm. So I guess, in a drought, we're in a fortunate position to have those facilities available to us. But it's tough, and it's hard to keep morale going when you see how desolate it is around there. But hopefully, you know, in a drought, you're one day closer to rain, and that's what you just got to keep thinking about and try and stay positive, really.
Well, they do break. It's just a matter of when and hanging in there, but it's certainly having its impact on the thoroughbred industry right across certain parts of Australia. Now, to some international sales news, Shane, and the 2019 Gough Sorby yearling sale is underway in Ireland, with three youngsters there selling for in excess of €1 million so far, including a Galileo filly, Shane, secured by yourselves and Phoenix Thoroughbreds.
Yeah, so we've in the last 12 months we've had recruited Dr. Demi O'Byrne as our international bloodstock consultant. So he works with me here in Australia and also internationally. And we've been doing a lot of business, obviously, with Phoenix as well. They're involved with the stallions. They've got some mares on the property, and we're racing a number of 2-year-olds with them. And we both hit on the same filly, Galileo, big pedigree. She's a sister to a Derby winner, and but Galileo isn't getting any younger. His arguably the best sire we've ever seen worldwide in terms of as a sire and as a broodmare sire, and we just thought these opportunities aren't going to come around too often, and it just made sense that we when we both identified her as the filly to have, we're happy to go into partnership. She'll remain in Europe, and hopefully she can start a little blue hen filly's portfolio for the Fung family. Similarly, we've invested in some colts bought at Goughs. We'll have a look at Tattersalls, and we've bought a couple of horses in America. Trying to identify potential stallion prospects with pedigrees by proven sires, and gives us an opportunity to develop some international partnerships and create some relationships going forward that sort of marries in with our vision and our drive to really sort of get involved internationally, albeit at a much smaller level than what we're doing here in Australia at the moment.
Yeah. And how are things going at the Canunga base, Shane?
Yeah, that's really well. Casey Fogden, as you know, she's taken out her training licence there, and she's having a great run at the moment. She's training winners. She's had a couple of trial winners there, and she's got quite a few young horses about to appear as well. So That's been nice, because Casey was actually one of our first ever employees, and she's worked through the system. She's overseen the preparations of all the young horses that have come through the Aquas Racing division so far. So she was ready, and she's keen to take the next step. And is very much in the fledgling stage of her training career. But all the indicators are that she's going to make quite a success of it. And you know, Tony Fung is keen to reward her loyalty and support her and give her every opportunity. And that's been a really encouraging part of the Canunga process. Obviously, the stallions have been really well received up there, and Spill the Beans has got his first crop running. So that's a significant milestone for Aquas, that our first foundation stallion, really, that's got his first crop of 2-year-old runners. So it just shows how quickly things progress in this wonderful industry we're in.
And Brave Smash retired to stud at the Hunter Valley. There's been plenty of buzz around about him and how he's let down into a stallion.
Yeah, good-looking horse. He's got some great partners behind him. Obviously, we raced him the latter part of his career with Australian Bloodstock and didn't quite have the luck that that you might have hoped for. But as you know, he's retired there. He's standing at 20,000 plus GST. He's got a full book of mares. He's getting good results with the early scanning as well. So the indicators are he's adapted to life as a stallion with aplomb, really. And as I said, we'll support him quite heavily with 35 of our own brood mares. And between himself and his ownership group, he'll get every opportunity. And funny, I suppose he's that year older as well, so he probably has that more let down physical appearance. A lot of breeders were really taken by him when they saw him. You know, it's a busy month in August there for stallion farms with breeders and prospective breeders coming through to see the stallions. So it's been great. He's been well received. And like, the reality is it's a big investment when you take on these stallions, and no one knows it more than us between what we've done then in Victoria and indeed in Canunga. So you need that support to give you the confidence to keep going. And you know, that sort of gives you the confidence to step in and get involved with a horse like Pierrata as well.
All the best of luck with Pierrata in the Everest. Look forward to seeing how he runs.
Thanks, Joe. Have a great Sunday.
That's Shane McGrath, the CEO of Aquis, joining us with plenty of news to discuss this morning.